me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners, it's Leah here, and I'm going to tell you about The Fae King's Dream by Jamie Schlosser. It's book two in the Between Dawn and Dusk series. And I know you guys might remember we talked about the first book, The Fae King's Curse, on the podcast. That book was about Kirian and Quinn's story. This is the second book in the series, and it's about a different couple. I'm going to read you the book bio, and you're going to love it. The first time I met Damon, he rescued me from a nightmare, literally. I'm stuck in a coma, and my mind is forcing me to relive the horrific accident that put me in this state over and over again. The gorgeous Fae King is the only one who can give me peace. As if the dream can't get any weirder, he tells me we're soulmates. He says he can fix my banged up brain. He wants to be my hero. Little does he know, I just might end up saving him. Because once I wake up, the real challenge begins. A bunch of vengeful witches want him dead, and they'll stop at nothing to seal his fate. But I've got plans of my own. The coven has caused too much tragedy, and I'll defend my newfound love, even if it's the last thing I do. And it might just be because if Damon doesn't survive, neither will I. And Jamie put a footnote on here that I just want to mention. Although each book in the Between Dawn and Dusk series is about a separate couple, it's best if the books are read in order. So start with The Fae King's Curse. I know you guys are going to love it. I am obsessed with Fae's right now. So go grab this. You will not be disappointed. We love Jamie, and these books are fantastic. I'll see you guys in just a second.
Welcome back to another week of Read Me Romance.
Hey, so I thought I was running late, and I was going to tell you that I was running late because I made hot chocolate and I was playing with my cat. And I never thought at 40 years old I'd say that.
When you were just saying, I was like, that sounds amazing.
I know, right?
You're living the dream over there.
I know. I was like, I don't know that I've ever uttered those words. And I wonder if, like, little Leah ever knew that this was a possibility. You know what I mean? Like we ever thought there would be a day when I'm going to record my podcast. But I'm running late because I'm making hot chocolate. And I'm playing with my cat. But you were telling me you haven't eaten anything today. Why? Explain to the listeners why you're not eating.
Because I got a little behind today. You know, there's a lot going on trying to do things around here. But
we're trying to catch up, too, before Christmas so we can take a break. Yeah. So there's a lot of things going on. And you had the fire that we talked about last week.
Yeah, so I was doing a bunch of stuff with that today, with picking out stuff. I look at stuff. But food is like a reward right now because there's nothing else to do. So, like, yeah. I tell myself, okay, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I can get food. But I haven't gotten through anything, really. So, finally, there was no choice. I had to go get dinner because I can't cook dinner. I don't have it. They took my stove away. Mm-hmm. And they took everything out. So, I go and get my dinner. I come back. It's freezing here. I was like, I'm going to take a shower real quick for a podcast. And I'll eat my sandwich real quick before. And I run downstairs to grab my sandwich. And the dog is eating it.
Did nobody see the dog eating it? That's what bothers me the most. Nobody saw this happen?
Well, here lately, no, because I got, like, it's to-go food. And right now, my son has been staying at my mom's later and later for some reason. I don't know if it's weather or whatever.
He's so, like, look, there's fires over at the other place. Yeah. I'm not going in there.
So, everybody just kind of, I bring dinner home every night, and everybody mm-hmm. kind of just grabs and goes. You know what I mean? Nobody's in, like, the main living house part.
Yeah.
People, Isabel's in her room because she's 15. Ooh, she got her permit, by the way.
Oh, and she got it.
Yeah. Aww. So nobody's seen it. I was like so mad. I can't even do anything. I just ate some more chips and was like, forget it.
That's so sad. Oh, I'm so sorry.
But now by the time we get done, I can't even go get anything else. I'm going to have to, like, I don't know, eat some cheese or something.
We'll take a break in between and you can go get a snack, okay? I sent you food today. It's not there yet.
No.
So every year for Christmas, I make Mel these, we call them cheese crackers. I'm sure people have had these before. LB's grandma called them cheese rings, and that's who I got the recipe from. And you call them cheese rings because you make them in a cookie press, which is like an old-timey device thing. I mean, you get new ones now, but
you know, you put dough in it and you squeeze this trigger like a gun, and the cookie dough comes out in a really pretty design. And the cookie press comes with like 10 different designs you can make. There's probably hundreds of them, but I've, in the years and years that I've made these, I've gone through, I usually go through a cookie press a year.
Really?
Because damn, the dough is so thick, and you have to do it at room temperature, but it, the dough is just cheese, butter, and flour. That's it. You just have to get the ratio right. And so, and I put cayenne pepper because I like a little kick with them. But anyway, so that even at room temperature, that's a thick dough with just cheese, butter, and flour.
They are thick when you bite into
it. Yeah, I mean, it really is like a biscuit, sort of, and you're squeezing it through a cookie press.
They're addictive. I don't, like, the first time I had one, I took a bite, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And then I was like, well, I need another one.
It's like a Lay's potato chip.
It doesn't it's stop. It's very
simple, and it's got the perfect amount of buttery salt to it, mm-hmm. to where it's not overly salty, it's not overly cheesy. But it almost makes you thirsty when you do it. But, I messaged you today and I said, go get your glass bottle Cokes. They're on the way. Because I know that's how you like to have them. It's with a Coke. And that's my favorite, is getting a Diet Coke and just a big thing of cheese crackers and just going to town on them. You know, last year I came off the hip and I spent some money. I think I spent like $70 on a steel cookie press.
And how did
so
it
that
work?
I wouldn't have to, it worked really well, although like I have to hold it with both hands and do it. I mean, this thing's metal. It's pretty industrial sized, but it worked really well. Although I think I fucked it up because I put it in the dishwasher.
I wouldn't know. I don't have one of those.
So sorry. I didn't even want to ask because I feel so bad. How are you doing over there? Do you have a washer and dryer for your clothes yet?
Oh, my God. They were supposed to be here last week. Of course, they sent it to the wrong place.
No, Mel.
But they reassured my husband when he gets mad. They reassured us it would be here Thursday, so.
Okay. Have you been washing clothes next door?
Yeah. And wearing a lot of older clothes I needed to find. Like, I was just digging through my stuff. I found my Captain America sweater. The silver lining. See, if you're watching, you can see.
That's actually, it's very festive, actually.
Mm-hmm, it's my Christmas one.
I love it. It's perfect.
I love Captain America. I made the mistake I didn't know you could follow, like, get alerts from people, like, talking about a celebrity on, like, Twitter.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it suggested Chris Evans, and now I've fallen back down into, like, a weird crush. So I had to unfollowed it like 2 days ago. I was like, okay, this is getting too serious. I'm getting angry.
I just spilled hot chocolate over my mouth when you said that. But no, what happened? Like, is it just what are the alerts? Oh, is it the one about like, well,
no, I get mad at like, I don't know. Like, I'm irrational, I think. Like, Chris Evans is single, so it's okay, but I get irritated seeing other girls talking about him like that.
I'm like, yeah, when they get thirsty.
Talking about him like that. But then the other day, I seen somebody talking about, like, Jake Tapper or whatever, and I'm like, he is married! I, like, got so mad. He's got two kids.
Yeah.
Two. I was like, I gotta get out of here.
I love that you got alerts on him, even if it was for a little while. I made a note to tell you, to talk about it, because when we finished recording last week, you know, a lot of time, and this is strange for people who don't know us, but we, you know, we write together, we're friends, we talk, but, you know, all the time, but not only because we're friends, but we're business partners, mm-hmm. and we run, you know, essentially two businesses now, yeah. with, you know, the podcast and, you know, Read Me Romance and all that entails, and then Alexa Riley. You and I talk constantly, all day long. I mean, if two or more days pass when we don't talk, I'm like, are you okay? You know, like, what's going on? And it's not, you know, we're just shooting the shit. There's purpose behind it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we do the podcast recording, I feel like it's sort of a chance for us to catch up more on our friendship than it is for, you know, the business shit that we constantly are like, do you have that cover? I need that email. Did you see that one? I said, you know, it's like all these different things that are coming up. But are you mostly saying, I don't have a book bio because I haven't written that?
And you're like, have you got a cover yet? Leave me alone.
You're like, do you have a book bio? Where are we at? That's our two things we ask each other all the time. I ask Mel for a book, for a cover, and she asks me for a book bio. And neither one of us ever has it. But anyways, so last week, I'm going to have to take my sweater off. I'm getting hot from my hot chocolate. Last week when we were talking, you know, even after we record, we stay on sometimes and just talk for a while. And I was telling you that I started this show called Dairy Girls on Netflix.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. I've watched, there's two seasons up right now. And they were going to do a third one, but COVID happened. But they're going to do another one. They're just filming it next year. So the two seasons are up. I think there's maybe only 6 episodes per season, and they're only 20 minutes long. They're very short, easy to digest. So not a lot of episodes, not a lot of time involved. I have seen every episode no less than 3 times because I keep going back through. It is my favorite thing ever right now. I am so in love with it. And I know I'm late to the game because this came out probably 2 years ago or more. It's about these 4 girls and this one guy. He's the cousin of one of the girls. It's about these 4 girls and they're in high school. And they're in Ireland and they're in a town called Derry. And it's based in the show time takes place in the 90s. There is the divide and there's still a divide. There's some, like, I don't want to say there's a lot of history, but there's, these girls are living their life in high school and they're worried about high school stuff. And in the background, you know, there's like this civil unrest in the country and like they don't care anything about it. You know, there's funny things that it's kind of a dry, dark comedy. Mm-hmm. Because they're just living their lives and they're talking about hot guys and they call all the hot dudes, they call them rides. She's like, oh, he's a real ride. Like, oh, he's such a ride. He's the biggest ride in Derry. Like, the way they talk is amazing. And so, and then they say motherfucker all the time. Like, it's so cute. Like, seeing these 4 girls just like get into shit. Mm-hmm. And their parents are so hard on them and so outrageous. And it's so funny too, like the stuff they get into. So just for an example, one episode, they want to go see their favorite band is performing. And I think it's in Belfast or it's in Derry or something like that. But they're talking about, they want to go see it. And when they're all ready to go, they're all dressed up. They're about to walk out the door. And their dad's going to take him to the concert. And there's a news report that comes on that there's a polar bear that's escaped from the zoo. And all of a sudden, all their moms are like, you're definitely not going. There's a polar bear that's on the loose. Like, their parents are just ridiculous and over the top. But according to Eagle, who I have asked a lot of questions about while watching this, she's like, yeah, that's definitely how they act. Like, how parents are. Like, they're just ridiculous and over the top. So I cannot recommend the show enough because it's so funny. It's so relatable, like being a girl in high school and liking a boy and your parents just being like really embarrassing. And you know, they have like this prom and there's all these bitches at school. And it's kind of like a Irish Mean Girls kind of thing, but not really.
I was thinking
really,
that, but maybe, ditzy and stuff.
Yeah, but just way funnier. It's so, so good. I honestly can't recommend it enough. I love it. I can't wait for them to do more episodes. I keep putting it on in the background just because it's so fun to listen to. But I definitely recommend it with subtitles because I had a really hard time understanding what they were saying the first couple times I watched it. But yeah, watch it with subtitles.
I've been watching them because I was looking for something to watch. I started watching that show, Catfish.
Which is that the one that was on MTV?
Yeah, I think it's still going.
No, is it still on?
Yeah,
that shit was on. Like,
I started looking up the guy that made it because it was like he was catfished, and he recorded it all. But he was catfished by like a family. Like he thought he was talking to a family. Like I can't even remember how they got hooked up.
Yeah, I was gonna say why would he talk?
They
to
like
a family?
Ran into each other online, and he was sending them stuff for this or that, like in another country. And then he was like, "This isn't real," and he like documented it. And then he got this whole show.
No way.
Yeah, but it's interesting to watch these people.
I didn't know that's how it got started.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and he's my age.
No shit.
So yeah, and so he's been doing this since his early 20s. But he also reminds me of Dan. Which is a husband of a friend of ours.
Yeah.
He does some of his personalities and the way he responds to things. I'm like,
is he really like analytical and
he's
smart?
Just very like, when you're at first you're mad at the person that catfished or somebody's hurt, but then he'll kind of say, well, you got to think about this. And they're like
playing devil's advocate?
Not devil's advocate, but making you have a little bit of compassion of, well, some people are just assholes that catfish. Some people are damaged, sad people that just are trying to look for human contact.
I've never watched like a whole show of it, but you know, I've seen clips and stuff here and there of like confrontations and stuff like that that they'll, you know, put online or whatever.
You know, some of them.
And so I've seen a couple of those before, but nothing ever like I've never seen they hit any more than that.
Some of them are just, you know, they've been catfishing for the same person for like 10 years and they started when they were like 15.
Holy 10 years? How do you keep that up for that long? And why though? What's the
They say they'll put their profile up and nobody will click it. So they go find a pretty person and use it, and then people will talk to them, which makes me feel bad.
Yeah, that is sad.
I mean, of course, there's some that are scammers, want money, but some are just kind of like sad and everybody's screwed around. But then sometimes they still maintain friendships and things like that, and people progress, and you're like, oh, okay. But it's been it's something to watch. I've enjoyed it so much. I've done a couple seasons. They're pretty short and quick because there's nothing else on.
I know that I don't watch The Real Housewives, but I've spent a lot of time with them this past week.
I wish you did, because I am like exploding to talk to somebody about The Last Housewives. If anybody else wants to start a conversation about that binder that Monique bought to the reunion, let's do it.
What? Why did she bring a binder?
She brought like, okay. So everybody,
I don't know anything about this.
This girl on the show that's an asshole, and she's always like, she's literally said, drag me. Like, and so Monique, you know, she kind of dragged her. But she had it coming. Nobody should ever touch anybody. But this was like one of those moments where I'm like, keep testing her. She's going to do it. And so she gets,
like, she wants people to hit her.
Well, she was like trying to intimidate, like, oh, go ahead, drag me. What are you going to do? Drag me. And so she grabbed her by the hair and kind of dragged her.
No shit.
Well, I was like,
these are grown women though, right?
Yeah. They're grown women, but
just want to clear that
but
up.
Here's what happened. So they, you know, she's married or whatever, and they tried to make up a rumor about her husband that she cheated on her husband, right? And so now she was pissed. That happens, which I don't believe the rumor happened, because she shows up at the reunion, and this reunion is the best reunion that's ever happened in Housewives history, and we still have two more parts.
Okay, why is it the best?
Because she brought this book, and one girl, she just starts telling everybody shit. One girl's supposed to be getting back with her ex-husband, and she's like, well, that's funny, because he's fucking such and such, such and such. And they were like, you don't know that. That's rumor. She's like, I do. I talked to her. Would you like her text messages? And she starts reading them. And then everybody was like, that may not even be real. She goes, is his number such and such? I'm like, and this guy's.
Did they just read his number?
Well, they bleeped it, but she's all and this guy's a pastor. They used to be married, but he cheated on her. And they're getting back together like 18 years later. And she called him, I can't even remember, like, holy pasture whore something, and I died. I literally fell off the bed. But I'm just like, it's amazing, and I'm sad I have to wait another week and there's nobody else to talk about it with.
Why? Does nobody know watches this?
Everybody, Eagle's behind. I don't know if she's watched it yet, but when I watched it last on Sunday night, I was like literally dying.
And nobody you know watches this. Oh man, I'm so sorry.
So
I'm gonna give you Tripp's number.
I know. Tell them about this Guess Who thing now, because I would love to play with somebody.
Okay, so I was originally looking for a gift for our friends Tripp and Kevin. They're husband and husband, but they both love Real Housewives. Tripp is a huge fan. He's a great friend of mine. And he recently got married a couple years ago. I think him and his partner have been together, I think, 6 years. Tripp has gotten Kevin to listen or to watch all the Housewives seasons, like all of them. He's caught him up. And so now they're both really into it. So I have no doubts they watched it. I know, right? I wish my husband would do stuff like that with me. Originally, I was looking for a Mad Lib for them. You know the Mad Lib? It's like a little pamphlet, and it leaves you blanks, and you fill in, like, color, adjective, verb, noun.
Sounds like homework.
It it's a game you play on like road trips and stuff. And so it's just like a little notepad and it's pre-filled out and you just write in stuff. You fill in the blanks and then you read the whole thing and it's supposed to be funny. And so I would look to see if they had a Mad Libs that was like Real Housewife related. They'll like, oh, put in a housewife's name or mm-hmm. or something like that, you know, fill in the blank. And I couldn't find anything like that. And I don't know housewives well enough to create that. I could make one very easily were it like The Office or something like that, you know, or Harry Potter. I could come up with that, no problems. But and so I started to look that up. And in doing so, I found an Etsy site. This girl, God, I should give her credit. Hold on. Let me look it up.
I kind of want this game. I would love, like, I would, I'm so, like, jonesing to do something that I should have one made or something, and then I can send it to somebody and play with it over Skype.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then I could actually play, because that's how bad I want to play this game. I'm like, I want to see how well, like, I want to know my trivia, because I've seen... like all of them at least two or three times. That's terrible to say, but I have seen all the Housewives probably two or three times. Jersey probably like seven.
So her Etsy site is Reality TV Treasures, all one word. Reality TV
Treasures. Hit me with that link and I'm gonna put it in the show notes for everybody, and plus I want to look at it.
She lives in Wichita, Kansas.
I'll just drive on over.
You just go say hey to her. So I found her Etsy site, and what she does is she gives you downloadable Guess Who cards, and they're all organized based on the seasons of Real Housewives. So there's like Orange County, Beverly Hills, you know, Atlanta, New York, New Jersey, whatever. They're all broken down like that. And so you download them. It was $5 to download the digital thing, and then you have to print them out at home. I would suggest sending them to a printer, because I went through 3 ink cartridges trying to print this shit out. And then they weren't exactly right. I have no doubts. Like, there was comments on there that the sellers adjusted the sizing for people who had certain types of boards. So you have to buy the Guess Who set. And I bought it. It was on sale, or... it was for sale on Amazon for $19. So I got it. They shipped it next day. It was like next day available. I was like, this is great. So I actually got 2 sets because I wasn't sure how many of them I would need, like how many I was going to do. But I just used 1 box. So I'm going to save one and maybe make a Harry Potter maybe one for myself.
That's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. Maybe I'll buy 2 mm-hmm. and then I can make one for my house, and then I can make one to send somebody. Yeah. And then I have a friend that lives alone, and it's COVID, so she's been inside. I'm going to send it to her and then tell her we're going to Skype and play. I bet
that's a great idea.
On Christmas. I should say we're going to do it on Christmas.
That's actually
a really great idea. Thank you. I think she'll get a kick out of that because she's like stuck at home. And Christmas is coming? Okay.
Hell yeah. It's like it's so fun to play Guess Who. Guess Who's probably my favorite board game. Just the regular game. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine if it was something fun like this, like it was themed into a show I was really into. Because the great thing about it is it's not like, it, you know, a trivia game is fun, but I've also have, and this is no brag, humble brag, I guess, but when I play Harry Potter trivia games, I win all the time when I play it. And there's no challenge in that. If I asked you, which housewife stomped out of season 7 reunion on New Jersey? You could tell me right off the top of your head. I'm sure. I just made that up. I don't know if that happened. But the fun thing about this is you're not trying to guess those trivia facts. You're trying to guess who your person has.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you have to be clever about the questions you ask. Like, okay, is this person married? Did this person, you know, it's only yes or no questions. So, you know, it's fun things like that, that is it a man or a woman, is it a child, you know, that sort of stuff. And it keeps it fun because it's different every time. So what I did was, is I printed out the cards at home, the faces, and I actually had glued them onto the Guess Who cards because mine weren't the right size. So I just cut them out and stuck them on. And I actually went the extra mile and bought laminating paper and laminated them. And it was just, it was so extra and unnecessary. I could have just glued them and left it alone, but I gave myself 2 days worth of work instead of an hour. So, you know, that's how I do. So anyway, so I created this board and I'm sending it to Tripp. So nobody tell him, it's for his birthday, and that's not till like the 28th or 29th. So hopefully he won't listen to this. So I'm really excited for him and his husband to play because they're both super competitive too. And it's something they both love. So I was really excited that this existed, and I had no idea that it did. So everybody go check out her reality TV.
We don't have anything that's super fun this year. I sent a bunch of games already to my mom. I wonder if she's going to follow through on any of them. She better. What else is she doing over there besides teaching my kid every day?
Yeah, I know, right? What else does she do except providing your son with free education? This past weekend, you know, when I was making your cheese cookies, or cheese crackers, whatever you fuck. I need to come up with a new name for them. I baked so much food, and that's all we've been doing is eating it. And then today, I get a bag, look, of, this is fudge from my mom. Hold on, can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
It looks terrible in the bag.
Well, you're gonna be mad at me then, because more shit's coming. God damn it, tomorrow, I swear, make me mail. I have the freaking,
Oh, the muddy bites.
I have those, and I have something else.
God damn it. Okay, send them.
There was something that somebody sent me, and they were like, you can only get these in New York. And I was like, challenge accepted, bitch. I had a giant box delivered to my house.
I got two cases. It's all or nothing with Melissa.
It is.
But my mom makes the best fudge because she puts marshmallows in it, like miniature marshmallows, pecans, and dried cherries. And it is, so she calls it Rocky Road fudge. I don't know. But
I want to try that.
It is. I know you're hungry right now. This is probably why we keep talking about food. I'm so sorry.
I love marshmallows and ice cream and things like that.
Yeah, it's so perfect. But so we spent the weekend baking all day Saturday and all day Sunday with my kids. And I've realized I don't like baking with my kids.
No.
By myself with no one else.
Yes.
Because I was just like, these monsters are slowing me
down.
Yes, I was
about to say, they're making a mess.
Yeah. It took me twice as long. And as soon as they went to bed, I got so many things accomplished.
I will say this, though. There is a silver lining in teaching them. Like,
yeah.
Finally breaking down and showing them how to do stuff and making them do it a few times, even though you have to hover. But now, like, my daughter can make a handful of things that I don't even have to worry. I'm like, will you do the spaghetti? Will you do that? You know what I mean? And she can just do it. But while I was doing it, I was like, it's just easier to do it myself. But
yeah. Well, you know, that was actually, I mean, that's a great point because this weekend, my daughter, my oldest one, asked to make eggs. I was teaching her how to make scrambled eggs. And so Monday morning, I'm laying in bed and I get a message from her because we have like a messenger app on our phones. And she messaged me and she's like, can I make eggs? And I was like, well, yeah, I'll be down in a minute. And she's like, I can get it started. And I was like, okay, I like this. So that was really sweet, actually.
I've noticed it as we've gotten older. Like when I'm cooking things now, even for like Thanksgiving and holidays, Isabel will just fall in the line next to me and be doing her own thing to help me with
that.
So,
well, you know, and I think I have this idea of like, oh, we're going to make cookies and we're going to.
No, the teaching is not easy.
I know. And it's going to be perfect. And then it's a fucking disaster. And they're screaming at each other and they're fighting.
Eggshell in there again. Are you serious?
Yes. And they're throwing shit on the floor and it's just everywhere. Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I stir that? Can I put, I'm like, shut up.
I let the clean kitchen thing go because I'm such a terrible cook now that I don't get mad when they destroy the kitchen. I just let them cook and then I enjoy it. It's to a point where the other day I was setting, well, it was probably a few weeks ago because we had a kitchen. I'm watching my husband cook and he goes to throw something in the trash can. He doesn't realize he missed it by like 3 fucking feet. I can't even, all I can do is laugh and get up and clean it. I'm like, you guys are ridiculous at this point.
I just wanted to let everybody know that if you have this perfect idea of what Christmas you think it's going to look like, just hang it up. It's okay if it doesn't. And I forget that we're recording this episode and Christmas is Friday.
Yes.
When this airs, it's Tuesday. So Christmas is coming Friday. And I know a ton of people might be super busy this week. And we were like, oh, we'll record a short episode. And I realized we've been talking for 30 minutes just catching up. So that's been nice.
Oh, I want to remind everybody while you're on I just seen it yesterday because they posted about, we have a free audiobook, a whole Christmas book from last year.
Which one?
Yeah. So I will put it in the link description if you, when you're done with this, you want to go on or whatever. But the Snow Angel played last year by Mink. And the whole thing is
Mink
a complete audiobook of a Christmas book. So you can hop over and listen to that. And you got a complete audiobook. Because I was going to mention it to you too. And that one popped
up. Scroll back on the podcast. That's a great
idea. But I'll link it below. So you click it. The whole thing is there, I believe. Even the epilogue, everything from start to finish. It's called Snow Angel.
Mm-hmm. And I've got two other Christmas recs that I want to recommend. These are both 99 cents and a Kindle Unlimited, and I just want to mention these. For those of you who are looking for Christmas reads, we pulled up some stuff beforehand because I was like, oh, we'll just do a quick episode and just tell them some Christmas books as we're talking nonstop. This is You Slay Me by Evie Mitchell. Like I said, 99 cents and KU, and I have the book bio for that one. This is Farrah. I need $1 million. I don't have even 10 bucks in my bank, but I need a cool million by Christmas if I want to save the town's wildlife reserve.
I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I was like looking through my stuff. I was like, okay, I'm here.
You're like, I'm at attention. Enter Wolf Rodriguez, local good boy, international heartthrob, and lead singer of Metal Heart, the hottest band in the world. Oh, and my ex-high school crush. I just have to convince him to help me pull off the fundraiser of a lifetime. Even if being around the attractive rocker turns me into a bumbling, blushing fool. Turns out, Wolf likes that kind of thing. Wolf, this holiday, I just want to spoil my niece, eat some pie, and recharge. God, did I need to recharge. The last 4 years have been nothing but tours, records, and screaming fans. With a new year fast approaching, I had songs to produce for our new album. Pity My Muse is missing in action. Or at least it was, until I overheard Farrah Sheriff whispering to a stuffed tortoise. The cadence of her voice, her tone, her words, all of it is revving my muse into overdrive. So we struck a deal. In exchange for performing at her charity gig, Farrah has to let me record her voice. Only I didn't expect her whispers would have me wanting to know more. And there's no way I could have known I'd come to crave every mention of my name on her lips. She's slaying me, and I can't help but love how bad it hurts. Warning, this book is inspired by hot rock stars, ASMR, and the joy that only a good Christmas story can bring. So escape the craziness, find someone to kiss under the mistletoe, and give yourself the gift of great holiday read. Like I said, that one's You Slay Me by Evie Mitchell, and it's 99 cents in KU. The other one we have I wanted to mention is Jordan Murray, and I think both of these are out today. This one is A Christmas Carol, 99 cents in KU. And this one sounds fantastic. You're going to love it. It starts off crude, surly, mean. That was the reputation Cyrus Martinez had, especially this time of year. Cyrus hated everything about Christmas. Every single thing. He didn't believe in the joy of the season. Life had dealt him blow after blow, and now he lived for himself and no one else. The good thing in his life was baseball, and fate had been trying to mess that up too. When he was traded from the dream team, he was sent back to the minors to play for the team no one had heard of, in a town no one knew about. He wasn't happy. There just wasn't a lot he could do about it. Moving to Mistletoe, Montana was definitely a culture shock. The whole town was Christmas crazy, and apparently that way year-round. Cyrus was ready to leave from day one, even begged his GM for another trade. When he agreed to check on Ida Sue, Lucas's family member, while in town, he didn't know what he expected. Someone as crazy as she was, probably. He wasn't ready for the sexy blonde with sparkling blue eyes, a laugh that sounded like bells chiming, who had a body that was made to heat up the coldest of winter nights. Sweet, cheerful, loving, she was Cyrus's complete opposite. Heck, even the town named her Christmas Carol. It could never work out between the two of them. No way, no how. But maybe Cyrus could be the first man to make sure Squeaky Clean Carol got put on Santa's naughty list this year.
That sounds adorable.
I love it. I know, it sounds so
I good. Love when a grumpy hero meets a bubbly, happy heroine.
Yep, I know. I was reading it and I was like, oh, this is perfect. So that one's by Jordan Marie. It's called A Christmas Carol. It's 99 cents in KU. And we also have a book out that's this Friday, Santa's Secret Baby. If you read Stalking in a Winter Wonderland, this is the sister, Jillian. She gets her book, and it's a secret baby. It's so good.
I was so excited. Like, when we were writing her, like, she came on the page because you introduced her. I was like, I want her to have her happily ever after.
Well, we started it out because we had to have a reason that this grumpy, grouchy guy was planning this Christmas party on Christmas Day. We're like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, he has a niece. And I was like, well, why does the niece live with him? And so then I wrote it and I was like, oh, okay, well, the sister got divorced and she's come home. You know, she lives with him on this estate. And so he's giving her this Christmas party. And the more we wrote her, the more I fell in love with her. I was like, oh, she's so fun. She's so sweet. How can we make this, you know, why did she get divorced? What was wrong with her ex? Like, where did this all come from? So it's actually really fun. What we came up with is the heroine in this book.
This is the first chapter you learn. So we're not spoiling anything, really.
Yeah, yeah, totally. The first chapter is her wedding day. And she realizes she's made a huge mistake and she's already gotten married. She's standing in her room. The wedding's over and she's so upset, and in walks a super hot guy. And there's this instant connection, this instant attraction, and they fall into bed together right then on her wedding day. Not her husband, who just has given her this bombshell of, I don't love you. This is a marriage of convenience for me. I need your connections, blah, blah, I need your money, da, da, da. And so she finds all this out after she's already said I do. So she falls into bed with this guy. And all of a sudden, after it's over, these people burst in the room and she realizes it's the brother of her now husband.
And all hell breaks loose.
So, and it's about what happens after that. So that's what's so great about the story is we had to figure out how do we write her out of this situation. So it was really fun to write this one and come up with it. So look out for Santa's Secret Baby. It's live Friday. Did you have any other Christmas recommendations?
I've always mentioned the same. I listen to the same audios as I was listening to the Katie Rias one I was talking about for a few weeks ago. And then, of course, I do The Billionaire's Christmas by J.S. Scott every year. It's just a habit. So,
well, I read a couple of Christmas books early this year, but I wanted to mention those again. Her Christmas Cowboy by Jessica Clare. That one was so fun, so sweet. The audio is hot. So that one's great. In a Holidays by Christina Lauren. That was the other one that's like Groundhog Day meets like, I don't know. It's like a holiday romance meets like the Family Stone basically meets Groundhog Day is what I thought. Because the family members are all so great. They're all characters. You know, everybody has their own big personality. But the Christmas keeps happening over and over. And it's so fun. And that was really great. I really, really, really enjoyed that. And again, the audio on that's impeccable.
I also wonder, I don't remember if I mentioned it last week, but I was telling people to read it, I think in the group. Katie Wilde's Wedding Night book, The Christmas.
Yes!
That is one of the best Christmas books I've ever read in my entire life. You have an A-type personality meets this rough, gruff, blue-collar guy who literally, like, chapter one, he's coming in because he needs her help because he has to sue somebody. He just inherited something, but they're trying to take it from him. So he needs somebody, and he hates this family. He wants to burn this family down. So he goes to this woman who he knows can get him the power, like, give him the money to sue them so they can't take it from him. But once he sues them and wins, he'll have the money, all this money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he wants to ruin them. And he, like, walks in, and he says it, and she's like, okay. She agrees, but she, like, processes everything in a different way than we do. Yeah, and it's just, and then watching, he's such a good guy, the way he handles her and handles her with other people and navigates with her. It's just, I can't. The two of them together is just.
Which one is this?
Perfection.
What's the name of it again?
It's called The Wedding Night. Well, it was called The Wedding Night Before Christmas because
That's right.
She kept writing it, which I understand because the book ended up being way longer. It was supposed to be a Christmas quickie, but it turned out a lot longer, which as it should have been because these characters are amazing. So yeah, I highly suggest that one. It's in Kindle Unlimited. I have plans to reread it this weekend. I already brought it up on my Kindle and everything.
Oh, that's a good idea. So. Okay. Is it in audio?
It's not in audio. I'm sorry. Okay. I wish.
No, that's okay. We need to get her to do that. Because, and I just posted in Headquarters, too. I know we've talked about this series several times. Tessa loved it. It was the Nikki Sloan. The first book was called The Initiation. It's in audio now. Nikki Sloan just announced it today on her Instagram that they're all in audio, which is fantastic because that's the reason I haven't read it because they haven't been in audio. So I'm definitely going to go grab them. So I just wanted to mention that real quick. Even though they're not Christmassy, they're filthy. This week, we have Sky Warren with us, and she's brought us an audiobook teaser of a Christmas book called Caught for Christmas. And I'll read you the book bio for it. I have it right here. From New York Times bestselling author Sky Warren comes a sexy holiday romance. Fair Warning contains a sweet, sexy, honorable man who is ruthless when it comes to catching the woman he wants. I'll be home for Christmas. The plan is simple. Break into the club and steal the money I need to save my father. The ex-military bouncer isn't going to stop me, even if he's hot as hell. If only in my dreams. Except he has a curious knack for knowing my next step, and there's something dark underneath his desire, something dangerous. If he catches me, he might not let me go. Caught for Christmas is a holiday romance set in the sexy, suspenseful Strip series that can also be read as a standalone. If you're brand new to the series, you can start here, or you can start reading the series for free with Tough Love. So, The Tough Love is the first book in this series. You can read that one totally for free. Caught for Christmas, that we're about to play for you, can be read as a standalone. It's in audio, all that good stuff. The top books, I went and looked on Sky Warren's Goodreads earlier, and the top book she has, first book is The Pawn. That's the one that has the most reviews and the best, like, it's like 5 stars with like tens of thousands of reviews. And that's in the Endgame series. It's book one. The top 3 books she had on Goodreads were all in the Endgame series.
Oh, really? She has and a Beauty and the Beast series that I fucking love.
That was up there, too. That was the other one that was, like, the most popular series she has.
I need to reread it. So, it's been, like, years.
Yeah. But I know how much everyone loves that. Especially if you love a Beauty and the Beast retelling, that's a great one to go with. Silver Lining is her newest release, with Diamond in the Rough being the first book in it. Oh, listen, this book starts off. Okay, so Diamond in the Rough is the first book in this series. She just had the book Silver Lining came out this week. And the first book, Diamond in the Rough, it starts off, the book bio says, I'm stepping off a 9-hour flight when it happens. A white van, a dark hood. Every woman's worst nightmare. She knows how to write a fucking blurb. She knows how to write the, because I read that and I was like, one click. So that's her book, Diamond in the Rough. That's book one. The newest book, Silver Lining, is out, and that's book two. Like I said before, this book, Caught for Christmas, you can get it in audio, you can get it in ebook. This is part of a series. It's the Strip series, and the first book in the Strip series, Tough Love, is free right now. So you can go grab that. And so I've got a couple lady listener emails, but we can save them until next week. I know this is going to be maybe a tiny bit shorter, not very much. Just, we know it's Christmas and everybody's super busy. Just wanted to give you guys this before we go. I guess we'll play the first installment of Caught for Christmas, and then we'll tell you afterwards what we got next.
We'll see you on the other side.
Bye.
Chapter 1. You know that feeling of unadulterated bliss when you take your bra off at the end of a long day? Yeah, multiply that by 1,000 when you factor in 4-inch heels and a glitter thong. It's scratching the shit out of me underneath the trench coat I'm wearing, and it's my own damn fault. I could have changed in the dressing room like the other girls, but I feel weird about it. I'm not really comfortable with other women. It's still too foreign. My childhood wasn't really treehouses and friendship bracelets. More like hideouts and cuffs if you were stupid enough to get caught. Shaking my ass for random strangers? I can do that. Changing clothes in the dressing room, filled with girls who will judge me and hate me? No thanks. I've been to high school already. Almost 20 of them, actually, considering how much we moved around. So I'm taking a walk in the cool, damp night instead. The wind gusts into places that are usually dry. Tanglewood is far enough south that we don't usually see snow, but tonight is especially cold. I'm looking forward to peeling this costume off my tired body and stepping into a hot shower.
How much for the night?
A bum shouts from a darkened doorway. More than you got. I call back without slowing my stride.
Amen,
comes his fading response. The streets are still pretty busy for the small morning hours, but I don't fool myself that I'm safe. I spot a group of businessmen leaving a restaurant, hands clapped on shoulders, drunken hails for a flurry of cabs. The sushi restaurant is decked out in garland and lights. These guys would have no problem at all springing for a goddamn burger. They probably blew $800 on tiny cups of sake already. My body needs something other than breathing room. I can hear the rumble of my stomach over the engines and city sounds from the street. I shove my hands into my coat pockets. Don't ask for trouble, B. You're in enough trouble already. There are 2 packs of ramen noodles on my counter and an endless supply of water from the tap, but I would really love something hot and cheesy and full of carbs. It's the kind of meal I wouldn't hesitate to buy myself when I started dancing, knowing I'd work off more calories than I can eat. That's still true, but these days even a $15 diner check is stretching the bounds of my wallet. My paycheck is generous. It's more than enough if I didn't have to pay an old debt, someone else's debt. I'm 2 feet away from the men when my hands come out of my pockets. I feel them moving with a kind of muscle memory, bile rising in my throat at what I'm about to do. They're just a bunch of rich bastards. They don't give a fuck about anyone but themselves. You'll be doing them a favor, stealing from them, bringing them down a notch. That's what Maisie would tell me. But what does she know? She's the reason I'm in this mess. There's only the slightest jostle, the faintest tug of fabric. Then the wallet's in my pocket, not his. He won't even think I took it. He'll head back into the restaurant to check the table first. Poor rich bastard. I'm the one who doesn't care about anyone but myself. I walk for 5 blocks, past where I would normally turn off. When the coast looks clear, I duck into a dark alley and check my haul. I'm not going to bother with the credit cards or ID. All I want is cash, and I find 2 crisp $100 bills and a few random 20s and 10s. Jackpot. I fold them into my bustier through the lapels of my coat and toss the wallet into the dumpster. This means dinner tonight, and a few more hot, melty meals besides. They won't scratch the surface of the larger debt, but my goals are small now. Something buttery with a hint of garlic. A hand lands on my shoulder. My heart knocks against my ribs, and I whirl to face my attacker. There are a lot of people who might have followed me in here, the guy whose wallet I stole, or just some random asshole who wants to take what I won't give him. I'm prepared for a fight. I'm not prepared for West. His dark skin blends into the shadows, highlighting his eyes and the white of his teeth when he speaks. What the fuck, Bianca? His shock mirrors mine. How did he follow me without me noticing? He must have kept pace from the club. I'm losing my touch and at the worst possible time. Can I help you? I say coolly, stalling for time. He rolls his eyes and reaches for me. I have a second's panic as his hand comes closer. Is he going to hurt me? Is he going to touch me? Then his long fingers pluck the thin wad of cash from my bustier. He holds it up to the faint light. Somehow he managed to do that almost without touching my skin. That can't be disappointment, I feel, can it?
Stealing,
he says flatly. I hate the judgment in his tone, the censure. What's it to you?
Why do you need this?
He counters.
I know what dancers make at the Grand, and I know where you live. You can afford better than that.
My eyes narrow. How the hell do you know where I live?
I've read the security profiles on all employees at the Grand.
He answers smoothly, which isn't a bad excuse, since the security company does pretty intense workups. He ruins the innocent act by adding,
I've also followed you home a couple times.
It bothers me that he followed me home, but it bothers me way more that I didn't notice. Looking for a little side action? I didn't know you were into that, Boy Scout. West is a bouncer at the Grand, the club where I work. The girls call him Boy Scout because he never looks at us wrong, never asks for a private dance. He's a total gentleman, and exactly the kind of trouble I don't need.
I'm worried about you.
he says, his voice strangely honest, the kind of earnest I almost didn't know existed until I met him. He's naive, right? Way too gullible. I just hate how it makes my heart tug. Don't be, I tell him, snatching the wad of cash from his hand. I can take care of myself. He leans back just a fraction, and I get the feeling he's inspecting me. Whatever he sees, I doubt he's impressed. He works for Candy, who owns the Grand after Ivan gave it to her, and she has a gorgeous body. Hell, all the dancers have gorgeous bodies. Meanwhile, I'm too tired, too thin. Months of ramen noodles will do that to a girl. I can keep dancing, though, keep moving, muscle memory and all that, the same way I stole that wallet.
Let me take you to dinner, he says.
My heart gives another kick, and I know this time it isn't from fear. I nod toward the blue glow horizon, skyscrapers like snow-capped mountains. It's already morning. A little late for that.
I'm still hungry,
he says, his voice low and seductive. I'm not sure what makes me think that, except that I'm feeling a little seduced. The wetness in dark places has nothing to do with windswept rain, and that makes him dangerous. No, thanks. He pauses, not seeming particularly let down. He seems thoughtful instead, as if I'm a puzzle he's trying to figure out.
I know this great little Italian place. They stay open late, as long as there's customers. And there's always customers.
Italian, huh? I bet they have lots of things that are cheesy and hot and... Damn it, no.
They bring you a basket of garlic bread to start.
He continues like a goddamn sex phone operator, and I'm paying by the minute. And why shouldn't I listen? I put on a show every night.
Fresh from the oven, with the butter browned around the crust. Sometimes I can get full just off the bread, but that's a shame.
My mouth is completely dry. It is?
It is, because the fried calamari is the best I've ever had. Crispy and salty. You'll be licking your fingers afterward. I know I will.
A sound escapes me, something like a moan. I'm too damn hungry to be embarrassed about it. Then what?
Well, it's just the appetizer. For the main course, there's so much to choose from. I've been there so many times, but I don't think I've tried them all. There's the lasagna with the filling that's so creamy, one forkful will fill you up. Then there's the Tuscan filet cooked to order. But I think the best dish I've had there...
My mouth isn't dry anymore. It's watering. I'm literally salivating at what he's describing, and he knows it. How does he know this about me? Why does he care? The cash slips from my fingers and falls to the damp alley ground, and I don't even care. I don't want the cash. I don't want to be a thief. I just want him to take me on a date to this place and never let it end.
Tell me,
I whisper.
He steps close, and I realize he's backed me up against the wall. There's nowhere to go from here. Nothing to do as his long body presses against mine. I'm tall any day of the week, and especially with my stilettos. He's even taller, towering over me. His strong body both a shield and a cage against the wind. I'm about to combust from what he's describing, and the nearness of his body is the strike of a match. His warm breath ghosts over my forehead.
The best dish is the gnocchi. Each piece hand-rolled, thick, and stuffed with mozzarella they get straight from the farmer. There's this brown butter sauce that...
No, I say, pushing him away. For a second, my hands don't move him at all. His body way too strong to budge. And I panic. Old fear rises up in my throat, and my hands clench into fists. Then he straightens and steps away, hands up as if to calm me. I couldn't move him by force, only by words. by asking him to. No, I say again, a reminder for him and for myself. I want him too much, and I can't have him. Not when I'm about to break through the security systems made by the company he works for. Not when I'm about to steal from his boss. It will be a little like stealing from West. Then I turn and run through the streets, my breath ragged and gasping as I sob out a denial to myself, to him, leaving the money on the ground at his feet. He doesn't follow me this time, and I make it back to my crappy apartment and the packets of ramen noodles. This is the world I'm living in now, the one I'm forced to inhabit. And all he offered me today, both the dinner and his earnest concern, are like the high heels and the glitter thong. Temporary. A means to an end. I take them off, feeling mostly relief. Relief and a little bit of regret. Chapter 2. Bang, bang, bang. I wake up on a gasp, sweat drenching my body. I push back damp hair and check the clock. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, which means I've been sleeping for, about half a second. No rest for the wicked, I guess. Another round of raucous knocking on the door is joined by the angry stomps of my upstairs neighbor. Sorry, I mutter, pushing the comforter off my legs and standing. The cold immediately settles into my bones. The air in here probably colder than outside. I take a detour to the kitchen and grab a knife because West was right. My apartment is not safe, and not only because of the location. Who is it? I yell through the heavy door. The peephole was cracked to hell when I moved in by an angry ex-boyfriend with a baseball bat, the landlord told me. It's Maisie. My mother. I use my foot to push the chair away from the door and unlock the deadbolt. A girl can't be too careful, especially when there are mobster types who think I have their money. Maisie holds up a white paper bag gone translucent with grease. I brought breakfast. I step back to let her inside, my stomach growling, my whole body tight with hunger. It doesn't want whatever dollar taco is in that bag. It wants gnocchi and garlic bread. It wants West. She slides two hot dogs in cardboard containers onto the counter, the meat shiny and brown. Voila. I make a face. Are those from yesterday? Don't get picky, she says, sliding one over to me and taking the other for herself. We have bigger problems to worry about. Dread sinks in my empty stomach. Jeb? I've called my parents Maisie and Jeb for about as long as I can remember. They're more like an aunt and uncle who sweep in on a whirlwind with greasy food and cheap presents, and then leave when they're ready to go back to their own lives. We've spent more Christmases apart than together. I'm 18 now, so the state thinks I'm old enough to take care of myself. The truth is I've been doing that since I turned 12. Maisie looks down, but not before a rare flash of emotion crosses her petite features. They took him. I stand up, shoving the stale hot dog away. You said we had until next week. Her face is pale, matching the white blonde hair I inherited from her. They moved up the timetable. Christ! I run my hands over my face, trying to wipe away the exhaustion. It takes a long time to set up a con this big. Next week was already pushing it. Why didn't you tell me about this mess sooner? Maybe we could have worked out a payment plan, or hell, I don't know. She hesitates. We didn't want to scare you. You didn't want to scare me. I repeat dully. I told them I wanted to go straight. I told them I'd never steal from the Grand when they'd first suggested it months ago. Then they'd showed up last week, cowed and terrified, and I'd had to help. You need me to steal $50,000 from my dangerous, violent boss, or Jeb's fingers will get cut off. I think we're past being scared. She bites her lip, giving me the pouty look that has gotten her out of so many tight spots. Well, that and her body. Jeb and Maisie are both good-looking, and they don't consider anything done in pursuit of a con to be cheating. "We knew you'd get mad," she said, her eyes going wide. I hate that I look so much like her. I used that same look on the customers at the Grand to milk them out of their money. It's nothing like what she does, though. They gave me their money fair and square. Maisie only ever lies and steals. Who took him, Maisie? I know they owe money to someone, but not who. You need to tell me. They've been cagey about the whole thing. Of course, that's standard operating procedure for Jeb and Maisie. Still, I didn't expect Jeb to be abducted over this. And not so fast. We should have had more time. She sighs, her eyes falling shut. The Caivano family. The mob? You stole money from the goddamn mafia? God, no wonder Maisie and Jeb are terrified. The Caivano family isn't likely to work out a payment plan. Her voice takes on a whining quality. I knew you were going to get angry. Oh no, don't try to turn this around. You stole $50,000 from the mafia, and they aren't going to just cut off a finger, are they? The fear in her eyes proves my point. They have him, B. They're going to kill him, and they're going to kill you, and then they're going to kill me for being related to you, along with anyone else you've ever spoken to or known. She shivers, and at least now I know she understands the situation. She understood it before she knocked on my door. She understood it when she stole these day-old hot dogs, but hell, this is all she knows how to do. Smile and pout and wheedle her way to getting what she wants. Trade up. That's what she used to tell me. Other parents taught their kids to tell the truth, to be nice. Maisie taught me that the only thing that matters is trading up, even if you piss off some of the most dangerous men in the city. Even if it means betraying people who trust me. Her hands turn palm up, helpless. Now you understand why we needed you to do the job. The job. Bitterness is sharp on my tongue. This job will cost me my job. More than that, it will cost me people I'd begun to think of as friends. It will cost me West. I told you I'd do it. We have to do it now. She says we, but of course she means that I have to do it now, not her. When then? The night after tomorrow. An incredulous laugh bursts out of me. Christmas Eve? I'm not sure why I thought that would be sacred to her when nothing else is. She looks earnest. The club will be closed. We have to do it soon. I shake my head, frustrated. It's too soon. We aren't even sure we can get into the security system. We haven't worked out all the kinks, and we don't have a choice. She takes my hand, her blue eyes startling in their honesty. I've never seen her this focused on me before, not in 18 years as her daughter. She's the flighty one, while I had to negotiate with the landlord for an extension on our rent. Now she looks dead serious and worried. They said they'll kill him if we don't bring the money soon. They sent me this. She pulls something from her pocket and sets it on the counter. I've seen that plain silver band before. They once hawked my bike with the ribbons and the handles. They've gone for days without food. They've traded their last dime for a security code to use on the next score. They give up anything and everything in pursuit of the game. But I've never seen Jeb not wearing this ring. Now it's on my cracked kitchen counter, tarnished and coated in dried blood. My throat tightens at the threat contained in that small band of silver. It tightens further at the thought of stealing from Candy and Ivan, Candy because I'd started to respect her, even like her. And Ivan, because everyone in the city knows well enough to fear him. Stealing from him is as bad as stealing from the Caivanos. The only difference is that I won't get caught. I can't get caught.
Welcome back.
Hi. So, Call for Christmas, Skywarn, go grab it anywhere. Tough Love, the first book in the series, is free. So go grab that
and
if you want to get into the series.
The audio is only like $4 or $5 too, if you want to get that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm trying to think if there... Oh, yeah. I know we mentioned Christmas books and all that good stuff. We have a book that's coming out Friday, Santa's Secret Baby. Just check our new release posts and check the social media for Read Me Romance if you see it. Or sign up for our newsletters because we always send you out when we have new releases. Or if there's like a deal on a book or whatever it is, you sign up for those and we'll send you emails and let you know when stuff is live. Next week is going to be our last audiobook teaser for 2020. It's Helen Hart. The book is called Follow Me Darkly, and we're gonna have just lots of good stuff to talk about before the end of the year and let you guys know what's next. I know we talked about that a little bit last week, but we'll kind of go in depth a little bit more and just let you know what's happening. But gosh, I think that's it. That's enough.
Tell them what to do.
Go buy all your presents. Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Have a good Christmas.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance.